So, how about that pretty cure?
What, it was a good episode.
I have not seen this week's yet. I kind of just glossed over the stream because I was getting tired at that point.
No, it's getting really... this must be pretty hard for you guys to catch up on all the shows before this show.
No, not really. I watch pretty much... I mean, everything I watch, I'll like watch as it comes out. Most of the stuff I watch comes out on the weekend anyway, so I just watch it all in a row.
Well, I mean, they've been pretty good with the subs, but the other weeks, a few months back, they were pretty... behind would have been a bit shit for you guys.
Yeah, Jet Fusion's usually good about putting the sub things up.
Oh, like Magenta's version.
Yeah.
But then you have to read Jay Fusion's comments, and then you feel like getting a nail and putting it in your urethra because his comments are so fucking batshit retarded.
I just don't scroll down that far.
3, 2, 1. And now, it's time for another Superhero Time! With your hosts, XV.
XV's the biggest jerk of all.
Hey, Mickey.
Ass.
Paladin.
Must be the fear of cocks.
Ken.
Tards everywhere.
And Fort Max.
Cancer, cancer, cancer.
It's Morphin Time!
Alright, it's Superhero Time. I'm XV, and we don't have Hey, Mickey this week. But we do have Hello. Fort Max.
Hello.
Ken.
Hi.
I was waiting for Paladin to boo you, too. And Paladin's over there poo-pooing on everything.
Well, not literally this time.
This time.
Well, it's still early. And this week we have
a couple hours to go yet.
This week we have a special guest with us, a genuine Australian.
Not space Australian, but... Australian.
I got sick and tired of hearing all the fake Australians on here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't buy that you're an Australian. Fort Max's accent sounds more realistic than yours.
Well, crikey, mate, what the f*** are you going on about?
That's better.
F***ing crikey, f***ing blokes. Fair stroof. Fair dinkum.
Okay, I'll buy that.
My name's Dan, by the way. G'day.
Yeah, if you don't know who he is, you probably shouldn't anyway, so...
I don't know how to pronounce my screen name, so let's just go by Dan.
He's one of our most prolific posters in the Allspark Toku thread, though, if that helps.
Because I refuse
to
go...
that's what, 1 out of 4?
Yeah, 1 out of 4, pretty much. I think he's second only to Fort Max, and that's just because Fort Max posts all the fan sub updates.
Well, there's a few others, but we don't talk about them, because they're... Well, yeah. We don't talk about them. Not mentioning any names or anything. Or why.
I have no idea who you're talking about. So anyway. Okay, so what's in the news this week?
Well, according to an interview with Hyper Hobby, Toei is filming a new Legend War just for Saban and Power Rangers using the post-Zeo teams only.
Interesting. I wonder if they're going to remember to omit Die Ranger.
And Cuckoo Rangers. Well, Cuckoo Rangers. Alien Rangers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one they have to leave... Well, they'd have to leave out Ghost Ager, too, since apparently we're not going to get that adapted.
So we're going to have Mighty Morphin Green Ranger, White Ranger, Zero Ranger 5, and Black Dino Thunder Ranger all at once?
Well, there's already one clone running around. What's this a couple more?
Hey, that's a good point. I can cover the Green Ranger, at least.
But no, I mean...
And don't forget...
What?
Well, Turbo and Space are almost the exact same team, too.
Right.
The only exception is Andross.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you omitted Green and White Ranger, then Turbo in Space is the only real problem there would be.
Yeah.
They'll probably throw in the Phantom Ranger and all that.
No, there still wouldn't be much of an issue.
Well, there would.
Do you figure?
They could just have the Blue Turbo Ranger by himself.
No. What's your Fort Max's...
No one loves him.
Let's hear Fort Max's take on this. Fort Max, what's your perspective?
Well, it's mostly a problem with the cat. It's mostly a problem. It's not the Turbo in Space that's the problem. It's the Zeo, the Turbo, that's the problem.
How so?
Well, one way or another, either way, there's a problem.
because that's the one that has mostly the same, Zeo's the one that has mostly the same cast before and after.
So did In Space and to Turbo. Either way, there's an issue when it comes to Turbo, which is kind of like Turbo in general.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the Zeo team isolated. There's no need for them to cross over forward or backward, necessarily.
Well, there are those robots from Turbo. So, hand wave that too.
Well, I actually considered that, but I seriously doubt anybody involved in the production would even have a concept that that ever happened.
They'll just throw White Racer in there for no apparent reason because it wasn't even in the American version.
I mean, I think we're just going to have to accept that there's going to be some overlap that can't be explained, because I really doubt their Legend War sequence will be, detailed.
Of course, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Anyway, so.
So does this basically mean that they're going to omit half of Gokaiger's footage to use Gokaiger?
Yeah, that's what I'm really worried about. Well, they're recording heaps of new stuff.
You know, if
but on the other hand, the upside is we might get some more American exclusive Rangers, like Titanium and the Jungle Spirits.
Also, we might get some actual new plots rather than.
This is also true.
We won't.
Well, no. Okay, here's how you gotta look at this. Here's how you have to look at it. The adapted form of Gokaiger will be at most 40 episodes, like Samurai is gonna be. And there is how many years worth of teams they can use?
18, because if you take out Ghost Ager and Dire Ranger,
so 18 costumes for 20 years.
So you know, expand a couple of episodes to two-parters, have a couple episodes where no additional costumes appear. You know, it can be made to work.
But the thing is, they're gonna have to do a lot of original stuff too to make that work, which wouldn't have been a problem back. Years ago, but nowadays it seems to be.
Well,
also considering how quickly it looks like it seems Samurai was probably rushed into production.
This is true.
Well, most of the tribute episodes were in Gokaiger were all after Zooranger anyway. There was not really much 80s stuff, only in a few changes.
Mostly just,
it's only Live Man, really, wasn't it?
Live Man was the only 80s one.
Jetman?
Oh, yeah, they did
Jetman. Jetman was 90s, though.
But we did.
It was pre-Zeo Ranger.
All the Megazord upgrades were for series that we got, right?
Like the past 10 years.
The ones that got toys, at least.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
because they're all the best-selling toy lines.
Because, the earliest was Gao.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, technically Zeo Ranger with Gokai Silvers.
Of course, what we really need for this adaptation are Ranger keys for Bulk and Skull.
I think Bulk could fit in the mobile, right?
Well, it would just be the Burgosaurus and Dogosaurus, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
That's a question. Would they bring back Spark and Bulk for the next series as well?
Well, they might as well at this point.
Great.
I mean, it's anniversary series. They might as well.
I do like that... the latest Samurai episode, Bulk's power symbol was a hamburger.
Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. No, what I'm waiting for to have happen is that Toei's instructions were not very specific, and the Die Ranger suits end up in the new Legend War. You know, all of them.
They got the list of every English adaption, and they put the Dynamat suits in. They just use the Dynaman actors, and then they just redub it over.
That would be acceptable, too.
The main thing, they just really kind of need to get a better set of writers and not have Jonathan Zacher control it.
Well, yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
Now, I've liked some of the stuff that he's been showrunning for. So I think most of the problem is just that the episode scripts are not being adapted very well and not being acted that great.
Yeah.
But, more creativity in the whole process wouldn't hurt.
Right. But again, I think we'll be able to see. But yeah, again, with Samurai, I think Samurai probably isn't the best indicator. Well, it would have, if it continues with after Samurai. Yeah. But again,
That's a good point.
But yeah, with the Rush production, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt for, okay, yeah, I can sort of see why they would do that.
Because they started filming Samurai right after they made the announcement, didn't they?
Pretty much. So yeah, I mean, I'll gladly give it a few episodes whenever it does get around to being done.
Yeah.
But I'll give anything a shot once.
Like, show-wise. King Multiple Men.
I said show-wise.
So how can they stuff up the Gokaiger mecha with the release? Pat Straka doesn't actually come apart, you just shove it into the chest.
You know, it's possible they would make them better.
Yeah.
The Samurai Zords are definitely better as toys.
Hidden Disc gimmick's pretty stupid.
Well,
because for instance, compared to the Shinkinger, for instance, you don't need a little small clip piece to hold the to keep the Samurai Megazord from collapsing on itself when you have the Battle Wing armor on it.
Yeah, it is a bit sad we'll be missing out. Like, I wouldn't mind getting a Bandai of America Go So Great, but yeah, guess I've got to wait another 2 years.
Candy toys are better, definitely.
I need to get those.
So what else is in the news?
Confirmation of some upcoming net movies for Superhero Tyson, which isn't a big shock. They do that for all the movies.
Right.
All the Rider movies, at least.
Well, this is half a Rider movie.
Yeah, half a Rider movie, so it should be fun to mix in the Sentai people with it.
Well, the Gokaiger cast seems like they're made for net movies.
Any of the voice actors, and apparently it isn't going to have any of the old voice actors for the net movies, but again, those things are made on no budget, so they really couldn't anyway. Unless they could also have those same guys voicing half the other people.
Yeah.
Well, even in the Rider ones, you only had like a handful of people ever come back for their voices.
Well, and I was watching the Oh's Wonderful Net movies recently, and they couldn't even get Mezzel's human form actress back for those.
She was in school.
Yeah, probably so, the point still stands, you know.
Actually, with the Superhero Tyson, from all the footage and all the posters, it looks like Luca and Iams actresses aren't even in it.
Yeah, maybe
not. Other girl. They don't need to...
No, I think I think I've seen Luca at some point.
Because a lot of the footage just shows Guy, Hina, Edgy, Joe, and Deanne.
Yeah, Kaito.
Well, we'll see
how their Figo arts are sold out already, so they don't matter anymore.
And they're going
I'm pretty sure I've seen at least one shot with all six of them at some point.
Hopefully.
Nah, might have been a far shot, but...
Oh, well, comes out next month anyway.
You're probably just making stuff up.
Maybe.
Or I am, I don't know. I'm crazy.
Good, good. So, anything that's actual news, Paladin?
Not much else, to be honest. It's been kind of a slow week.
When more GoBusters roleplay stuff came out.
The transpod,
which is an old McDonald farm for Fisher Price.
And a voice changer.
And a voice changer. Yeah.
But I don't get it has a cow in it, so is there going to be the next Buddy Royd?
Hey, that sounds like XV's Buddy Royd.
Yeah.
It just needs a full string on it.
Been in a fall over.
Yeah.
And the deluxe Gorilla and Rabbit are due out at the end of this week.
Yay. Oh, so maybe the Megazord will show up next week.
Well, probably another week.
I think it's episode 6.
Yeah, it's been confirmed for 6.
They were kind of talking it up a little bit at the beginning of this week's episode, anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Quattro Candy Go Buster Ace came out as well.
What was that?
Wee Thunder.
Oh. Hmm. Boy, that was that loud. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You can hear it all the way in Australia.
There was a figure art got delayed, if you want to count that as news.
Which one?
Which one?
Alex States got delayed, but only by like a week.
Weird.
Oh, well, so it doesn't matter.
Can't find out if it shatters in your hands yet.
Just squeeze one time real hard.
You pop up the top tray and just go...
Dust.
Dust just turns to...
You know, that reminds me, I was thinking the other day that the figure art Shink and Gold's helmet really should have been chromed. You know, to look like the costume one.
Yeah.
If you want to be like the costume,
the Saban costume
you need to get
one,
like a beer gut as well.
Need a what?
A beer gut.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, the guy's a bit stocky, yes.
Uh-huh.
You always know when it's Japanese footage when it's got the fat shinken gold up on Samurai.
I don't think I ever even noticed that until I watched that Hyper Battle video or whatever it was where Shinken Gold got the super jacket.
Oh, with it where it's Hyper Shinken Gold?
Yeah, and the thing barely fits on him.
No one subbed the Gokaido Hyper Battle video yet. That sucks.
I don't think it's the Raw. I don't think the Raw's... Nobody's gotten a hold of it,
I think
actually.
The problem with it, I think, is that it's kind of sort of a choose-your-own-adventure thing.
Okay.
Oh, that's a problem.
So, yeah.
Well, then TV...
That could be pretty hard to subtitle.
Has the O's one even been translated?
I think that may have the same issue.
Okay, with the cake battles.
Well, TV Nihon subbed the Decade one, which was a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing. So I imagine they'll eventually get around to O's and Gokaiger, even if it's the same
medal.
It's only O's, who cares?
Oh,
yeah, but it's a kangaroo medal. You should love that.
I love old stereotype from the 1940s for boxing gloves.
Yes.
You know what I've noticed about O's is, like, every time he comes back in a movie, it's kind of overshadowed by something else. Like Mega Max. Oh, wait, there's Double.
Oh, actually...
Superhero Tyson. Oh, wait, there's Gokaigers and Forze and Decayed and...
On the Tyson poster on the website, they've actually edited O's out.
God, oh my.
And they've replaced him with an explosion.
Really?
Yeah, if you load it up with Flash to say...
Shin there.
Oh, Shin's not there. But if you load it up without Flash, Oz is there behind Forza. You load it up with Flash on, is replaced with an explosion.
Poor AG.
Yeah, kids don't like AG that much.
Apparently.
I don't like AG that much.
Goddamn hobos.
I like his voice, though.
Yeah, Yobel did really well, but the Forza driver's beating it.
Oh, and speaking of subtitle projects.
Subtitle projects?
Gokaiger vs. Gavin finally came out.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes.
And the Blu-ray should be along pretty soon, too.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Actually kind of disappointed it came out.
No more Gokaiger for a while.
Let's see, the retail...
Well, that end...
DVD are out at retail.
Fort Mac, shut up. What, Paladin?
Well, now that this is complete, the only other project for the subbers we have to look forward to is Mega Max.
Which is May or something, isn't it?
Well, it has Double, at least.
It actually was apparently really good, a lot of the Japanese.
So did Let's Go Kamen Riders. Look how that turned out.
That was good for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Actually, I did like Let's Go, but I guess I'm in a minority here.
Well, I liked it, too.
I liked it.
But, you know, I don't mind the heavy Deno content.
Yeah.
Hina was in it, so that kind of pits me off a bit.
And, you know, Shotaro and Phillip's cameo in it was pretty awesome.
And
so it all works out.
I like the stuff. Yeah, I mean, I like the stuff with Rider 1 and 2 in there too. So,
screw that.
Sadly, no swinging in on little girls' hospital rooms.
Punch. Just in a random Danger 5 episode, Rider 1 just comes through a window.
That actually would not surprise me too much in that show. Somebody.
You know, they need Sega to Sanshiro.
Yeah.
Somebody dressed up as a. Same difference.
Well, actually, there is a difference. Sega Toss Sanshiro would have a giant Sega Saturn strapped to his back when coming through the window.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's only a little difference.
And he'd punch people with a Sega Saturn too, probably.
Well, that's all Saturn's good for.
Oh!
Well, now,
and
yeah.
Plus, the villains would explode twice.
Oh.
So, is there anything else going on?
No, that's about it for the news this week.
Oh.
Slow week.
The Blade cards came out, but that's not really that big.
Rapid Packer.
Oh, the special edition Rouser cards?
Yeah. They're pretty cool, but way too expensive.
Also huge.
Yeah. What was that one you pointed out, XV?
Rapid Packer? Yeah.
Rapid Packer. You have to really like Blade, basically.
Yeah. No, that's one of Garen's cards.
Actually, speaking of Blade, one thing I noticed in some of the Superhero Tyson pictures is that they actually have Blade fighting Jack.
Well, that's Decade, I think, actually. And...
Well, yeah, that's Decade as Blade fighting Marvelous as Spade Ace.
Well, still.
Actually, we got this news. I don't know if you guys may have covered it last week. I can't remember. The guy's getting sued for making Power Ranger hoodies.
Huh?
Guy, I don't think we saw that.
Okay, I'll give you the link. Guy made some custom Power Ranger hoodies, and now he's getting sued by Saban.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
and all I can say is
he didn't have the rights to it.
All I can say is I wish I had known about these before the maker got sued into non-existence.
Yeah.
Because
they look pretty nice.
I totally would have got a Green Ranger one.
It comes with a cloth shield.
Only if it comes with a cloth shield.
No, they need to do, like, not a cloth shield. It needs to be, like, Stronger's chest. So you just inflate it.
Yeah.
No, it would have to be a quilt.
It's like a Snuggie. Green Ranger Snuggie. It comes with its own pillow, which is the green shield. See, if I wasn't afraid of getting sued by Saban, I'd make that myself.
Well, you could make it for yourself, you just can't sell it.
Well, what's the point of making something if you can't sell it for a profit?
I know.
Oh, and there's also Time Machine Nations is at on the 31st of March, so there's going to be heaps of new toys and Akiba Ranger stuff.
And maybe 10% of the stuff they show off will actually come out.
Yeah.
In a few years.
Maybe.
Deca Rangers again, which will never come out.
Yeah. Then this time they'll show Deca Master.
He's
the only one that matters, damn it.
I can't argue there.
Well,
maybe they'll do something weird like show off Gallantmon again.
Yeah, I'm still
no
on that.
No, they won't show off. They won't show off Deca Master. They'll show off Doggy Kruger.
Huh?
I'd buy it.
Or Battleized Red Deca Red.
I mean, they could just really piss me off and show off a Shine Greymon.
No, they'd show Doggy, but they'll make Doggy out of the material they made the Imagine fairy suits out of last festival.
Oh.
Yeah, no sign of any new Deno stuff coming out either. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, they haven't really announced when they showed Sword form. They just haven't.
And Teddy.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Negatorus was also shown from memory?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And then the Imagine in their little furry outfits.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Negatorus anyway.
I wouldn't mind a Negadeno. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
I would think that putting out a Sword form on top of a Climax form and re-releasing the Imagine would just be kind of money in the bank.
Well, Climax form hasn't sold out. It's quite common to get still.
Well, that's because it's Climax form.
They probably overmade it too well. They overmade it like the Go Kaija figure outs. It's like they made way too many and now they can't get rid of them.
Well, and Climax form was never that popular anyway, from what I can tell.
Liner form was more popular, I'm guessing. Oh.
So when they make that one, it'll be Thomas U Web exclusive.
Oh, yeah. Like the rest of the Ryuki figure outs.
Probably right. Along with Wing form.
Well, the Sochaku Henshin Wing form was an exclusive as well, anyway.
Yeah.
Toys R Us or something.
No, Yahoo Web Shop.
Ah, that's it.
Now, of course, they're going to be making everything from Ryuki, of course. Well, at least the stuff that has the Figma.
Well, it's Ryuki's anniversary year this year.
And so. they'll be making Abyss too.
And hopefully, Alternative Zero.
That's a good point in their favor.
Abyss.
Well, hopefully, they'll make Abyss anyway.
They've showed off Abyss.
I don't care. Yeah. It's a festival.
They've showed off a lot of things.
Vagin, yeah. Kamen Rider Saga, Master Asia.
Oh, Master Asia.
Rain and Alan B.
Yeah, don't start listing off everything Bandai showed off, or you're just going to get depressed.
Stronger.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stronger will be quite soon, because they're doing a show of
writers. Oh, yeah, they're going to do all the show of writers.
The next one to come out is V3 in May.
Super Robot Shogokin Red Dragon Thunder Zord.
That'd be, and Daizujin's pretty soon, isn't it? Oh
yeah, that's
because Magic King just came out. That's news.
the Super Robot Shogokin mecha seemed to be coming out at a pretty good clip, actually.
And next month is that guy from Gal Gaigar, and probably Daizujin after that.
That guy from Big Volfog.
Well, Daizujin will be going out for pre-order probably this month and go up for July or something, hopefully. Because we've all got all the June pre-orders are finished now.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll probably never get a Shogokin Goryujin.
Let's do all the mecha. It's going to take a few years anyway.
Yeah. Damn it.
At least all the main ones.
We still haven't got Sun Vulcan Robo.
Well, that's just a stack of boxes. Screw that.
Yeah, but Sun Vulcan
is one of the first one they showed.
It doesn't matter. It's still a stack of boxes.
If they put a little microphone, a little speaker in it and made it just play the theme, I'd buy 10 of them.
I just love when Bandai like announces a line and then like half of the first ones they show don't get made.
Oh, kind of like Hasbro.
Yeah.
No, they get made, just not released in proper space.
No, no. See, with Hasbro, it's the last half that gets showed, but not. Well, they get showed and they get made. They don't get released where you live. That's all that is. I smell bacon.
Not me.
Pink got struck by lightning.
They still wasn't the cow.
No, that wouldn't smell like bacon.
Are you sure? Maybe it's an old cow.
Well, I guess it could smell like bacon if it struck the filet mignon part.
Just the filet mignon
part. Lightning's very, very precise when it's killing a cow.
Yeah, you know, that bacon wrapped around the filet mignon, that's naturally occurring in the cow.
Yeah, give it a few.
And in your mother.
So, I think it's time for something completely uninteresting.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Samurai already?
Yeah, well, we run out of other things to talk about.
Just keep putting it off.
We could bash Fun Pub some more.
No, we've done that enough lately.
Oh, they can't, and they know it.
Maybe we'll save that for the post show. Or it might go in the cold start, I don't know. It depends what I can pull out of the recordings before we started. Anyway, so what was this week's episode of Samurai?
Yeah, which episode of Shinkenger did it adapt?
Was it the movie?
One of the late 30s.
Okay.
And wasn't the Shark Zord in this one? I think that's what I heard.
Yeah.
So it's the episode when the movie stuff premiered in Shinkenger.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it's the one where they kept... Oh, I said I was just wondering what you're talking about now.
Yeah, Gold Ranger and the Master got kidnapped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing happened here.
And the cat was the best actor.
Of course, it didn't try to eat Antonio this week.
There is that. I can't like any of these actors in any way, especially when you find out one of them is a real homophobic prick.
Well, so. You know what the deal with the actors is, don't you?
They're cunts.
That's not really what I was going for.
Well,
it's not entirely wrong either.
Because they're from New Zealand.
No, actually, they're from the United States. No,
that's
what
why
it
I
is.
Was like...
What it is, after the casting call, you know, everybody they offered contracts to, the contract was kind of nuts. So the people they got were the first ones that would agree to all the terms of the contract.
That's no real way to run a business.
To cast for a show as well.
Yeah, well, that's Saban.
So Saban didn't really do a casting call. They just got the phone book out, placed it on their desk, went through the first numbers, gave him a call. Hey, you want to act? Good. Here you go. Here's a passport.
Well, you know, they had however many, you know, dozens or hundreds of people come in to audition for the roles, and the best ones wouldn't sign the contract.
Well, from what history we've heard from interviews from, like, David Yost and all that, they didn't exactly pay well in the past, did they?
And I don't think they were paying well now, either.
Probably not.
Not from the looks of things.
I had a feeling they weren't New Zealand. They didn't really have the accent.
No, what, they got U.S.
That
casting.
Fake American accent that New Zealanders have.
Well, all Australian and New Zealand actors always pull off the crappy fake accent in films.
Yeah.
Case in point, Mystic Force.
I haven't seen Mystic Force.
Yeah, but some of them are better than others at actually accomplishing it. I mean, you've
I
never...
always appreciate...
What?
I always appreciate Xander from Mystic Force because they just didn't even try. It's like, okay, let's just let him have an accent. It'll be fine.
And he ended up having the most personality in the show.
Yeah. Funny,
which still isn't
work,
saying much.
Well.
There's just a few select words that really show off the Kiwi accent. You just need to make a list of them and tell them, don't say these. don't say six.
Like,
don't say fish. Don't say chips.
Like any word ending in R.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I watched Samurai, and it wasn't overly bad, but it was just a carbon copy kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, that's Samurai.
Including the diminishing returns, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's only, what, 15 more episodes to go?
I don't even know what episode number this is.
Neither do I.
Still?
And then they'll be in repeats for, what, another 9 months?
Oh, no. They'll be in repeats, like, probably 2 weeks from now for another 6 or 7 months before we get the rest of the new episodes.
Yeah, this is episode 5, and that's meant to be 20th season, right? Maybe.
Samurai's probably, just feeling like this thing that will not end.
It'll end as soon as the toys don't sell.
Well, it'll end as soon as they run out of episodes to adapt.
I know, it's just like...
Theoretically, they have just filmed like the entire... Theoretically, they've filmed the entire thing already, anyway, so...
It feels like it's been so long.
I remember seeing the female Red for the American adaptation yonks ago, like ages ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they cast everybody right away, and, you know, all the information got out immediately, so we've known who was going to play the Princess Shinken Red or whatever since before the show ever started.
Yeah.
Another white, blonde-haired Japanese princess.
Named Shiba.
Yeah.
It would be even better if they gave her an Asian first name as well.
Himiko.
Yeah. Like, guys, my name is Himiko. Give her a Valley Girl accent. It's like freaking Clueless, the center or something.
Clueless is the word for it, yeah.
That would be fantastic.
That would be very simple of them.
That would be worth watching, actually.
Like, you've seen how they've ruined the like character traits from Shinkenja. They've simplified them to the lowest common denominator. How can they do that? How can they do that to Gaijin? Yeah. Well, how can they do that with Gokaiger now? Would Luca not be a thief and a bit suave in that? She'd just be a random valley girl. I'm would just be I'm, except 10 times more girly, which I don't know if it's possible.
And less badass.
Yeah. Joe would just be
boring piece of wood.
A dick like current Samurai Blue. Right. Green would be good if they just went and hired that Ziggy guy again.
That actually would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And Marvelous will be a zombie actor. Like, his face will not emote. Or will only have emotion.
Well, of course, which is
that breaches the values of friendship and teamwork.
So, like, that's what I was thinking. The Mighty Morphin Great Power will be how to hold crappy charity events in a juice bar. Actually, if the show was self-aware that much in the adaption, I'd actually pretty love it if they did that.
Yeah. No, see, the thing with Jaden's actor's face is that it's not that he's so much non-emotive. Like, remember that Revoltech Woody?
Oh, right face.
He's kind of got that going on all the time.
He's got his right face on the inside side.
The thing is, in Shinkenger with Takara, it felt like an intentional thing. In Samurai, it just feels kind of creepy.
What, you think Takara had intentional rape face?
No. I'm talking about, like, just the serious, no emotion.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, though. Jaden doesn't look like serious, no emotion. He looks like, rape face.
Yeah. He just looks creepy. He just looks...
Takara's actor was more acting, no emotion, while Jaden's is really... That's him.
Yeah, because Takara's actor could pull off some stuff when it was warranted.
Well, even even Red's not the one I have the most problem with. Blue's the most, because Ryunosuke was just such a good character. He's just been crapped on. He's,
constantly just wired.
Yeah.
And energetic.
If anything, you'd expect... Out of anyone, you'd expect Decker to have the rape face after his actor's career.
No shit.
No, that would be like rape victim face.
What does it say when the best actors in Samurai are Bulk and Cole?
Well, to be fair, Rick Medina has kind of stepped up since Wild Force.
Yeah, he has.
That wasn't very hard.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, it's not like it was when he was Cole.
No.
Did he really step up, or do you just think he stepped up because he's next to the Samurai cast?
Good point.
Well, he's also there with Bulk, and Paul Schreier has always been a pretty good actor.
Yeah. But, I will give Rick Medina credit. When Decker's on screen, he's actually not that bad. It's just everybody else.
But haven't we really just hit the generation gap where, like, the acting in Mighty Morphin was terrible, but it was funny terrible. But, like, our generation's gone now, and the new generation has Samurai's their new Mighty Morphin. It's terrible, but they love it.
Yeah, but
well, we're old enough now to see how bad the acting really is.
I don't know. You could tell it was pretty bad back when you were a kid.
Yeah. The thing is, though, we had a show that preceded it, which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had actors that really kind of seemed to care about what they were doing.
Well, most of them.
For the most part. I mean, the main Rangers were good. And Dr. K.
Didn't Dr. K get with Green in the end? Like the
in real
actors?
Life, too, yeah.
Go Green. Thumbs up.
No, I mean, there's like a certain quality about classic Power Rangers where it transcends the bad acting and, you know, somewhat lacking writing. And it's enjoyable because of all that.
It's kind of like this thing you can put in the background and...
Like the old Batman episodes is always the best way.
Yeah.
I've always seen it explained. Because...
It's kind of, I don't take it too seriously, but it's kind of fun to just put on in the background while you're doing other stuff.
So
you've got the people who take it seriously.
So you're saying Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is Adam West Power Rangers, while Samurai is like Brave and the Bold Power Rangers.
But Brave and the Bold's good.
Yeah.
Really.
Samurai is like the Batman Power Rangers.
Okay, yeah, fine. The Batman.
Even the Batman is better than Samurai. Come on.
Yeah, but in
well,
terms
it's worse
of...
than Brave and the Bold, though.
No.
So that's what I'm going for.
In the
Samurai
hierarchy
Spot
of Batman
Unlimited.
Series is what we're talking about.
Samurai is 90s X-Men cartoon.
But 90s X-Men's good.
Okay, how about this?
90s Spider-Man cartoon.
No, 90s
I would more
cartoon.
Compare.
Oh, yuck.
I'd more compare Samurai to, like, Spider-Man Unlimited.
That's what I was saying before. Oh, what? Something, Spider-Man lands on a planet full of furries? I mean, what the f***? You know, if they remake the modern day, they'd have to make them all bronies or some shit.
Well, it's not like that didn't exist in the comics.
Yeah, I know, but when you put it to film, it just, like, you just keep shaking your head.
No, I still say 90s Avengers cartoon, because they even have the same stupid add-on armor.
Oh,
yeah. How about 90s Wildcats?
That would require someone to remember 90s Wildcats.
Poor Jim Lee. No one remembers.
Or...
He doesn't care.
Oh, wait, no. Samurai is season 2, 90s Incredible Hulk.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh, dude.
Although, I would about... probably give it to 90s Avengers cartoon instead.
Oh, no. I got the perfect one. Like, Mighty Morphin is G1. Transformers, obviously, stupid as hell. Then you got Samurai, which is Armada, poorly adapted and shit.
No. In that case,
even Armada, I think has more.
No. Samurai would have to be Energon in that case.
No. Samurai would require at least 10 good episodes then.
Well, yeah, but Armada had 10 good episodes at the end. That's the thing.
So there was like 20 there all in a row.
Okay, it's a Japanese dub. It's the Japanese original version of Car Robots.
I would still go with Energon instead.
I'm a bit biased. I really like Super Link.
Yeah, but Super Link is not Energon. Super Link is probably superior in every conceivable way to Energon.
Well, we'd know if someone would sub the damn thing. Hint, hint, hint.
It's already fully subbed.
Super Link was subbed when it was coming out.
Yeah, TV Neon did all of Super Link and Galaxy Force. I'm quite sure they did Micron Legend as well.
No, they haven't. Nobody's Micron Legend.
They should. I saw some of the screenshots. It's like a lot better.
Just in certain parts, they didn't redo the entire thing that way.
And I think those were only done for the DVD releases.
Well, it's better than Starscream just being a black blob in the background as he flies in.
Now, Energon's episodes had a lot more problems with it. That animation stuff that was. Fixed for the Japanese airings.
Yeah, Superlink is better because it's actually fully animated.
We should probably still talk about Transformers, shouldn't we?
Wrong podcast.
Hi. Are you sure?
Blah blah. Fun pub suck. Blah blah. Asia. Blah blah blah. There we go.
The thing is, we've done 15 minutes on Samurai already, while not even really talking about Samurai for the last 10 minutes. So
that's really. How's that different from any other episode?
I'm tired of talking about it and want to move on to something else.
How about that Digimon? I mean, sorry.
Pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. It's pretty good this week. I mean,
speaking of
Pete Stubbies, still the best.
Digimon's about the same as Samurai.
Yeah, Samurai is like the Digimon
except...
frontier.
Ooh.
No, I
like
Frontier.
I like Frontier.
Samurai's like Data Squad.
No. Sabers, I like Sabers a lot.
Well, I think the only one everyone hates is 02, apparently, even though I love 02.
No. There's worse.
02 is great.
Hunters is worse than anything else. Except, only thing is, Hunters has, like, one good episode that just aired this last week. And that was only because no characters had actually in the show.
Fan service.
And because that guy punched three other guys in the face.
Yeah. Well, that's all. What they did in Hunters is all you can hope for in the Gokaido adaption in America with Saban. You just hope it's just fan service. That's it. You can turn it off. You can ignore the bad acting. It's just pure fan service, basically. That's all you can really hope for.
Yeah.
I can expect a lot of people doing voiceovers in suits and no actual real actors.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah.
A lot of impersonations.
Yeah, instead of getting the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they'll get those guys who did the voiceovers after the original actors left. And you'll just never
Hopefully they also get the on-camera stand-ins.
I was going to say, you'll never actually see their faces. You'll just see people who look vaguely similar from behind or at a distance in shadow.
We'll give you the great power of the stand-ins and the voiceovers. Use our power. Great. Come on, that's how you flesh it out for more episodes. You start giving random powers to random people. Ernie even has a power or something, the power of the juice bar.
Great.
Oh, well, wait, he's passed away, hasn't he?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
That's bad.
Lieutenant Stone, then.
The power of being a crappy detective.
He ran the juice bar, too.
It will be the power of being able to run a juice bar without ever having anyone pay for stuff.
They could also give powers to all the random ethnic stereotypes that appeared over the years.
Well, that's most of the Rangers, too, right?
Yeah, but, you know,
first year.
You know, they did that with the supporting cast for a while, too.
I don't think that'd be a good thing, that episode.
Oh, what, the White Ranger Red Herring, you mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, there was even a few up into Zio.
But that would be a very good episode title.
Oh, yeah, their Jewish friend.
And
Power Rangers Pirates, obtaining the Jewish power.
And then there was the blind girl, which isn't an ethnic thing, but, you know, it's a disabilities awareness deal.
Gaining the power of the blind.
However, she did get asked in that episode.
Today on Power Rangers Pirates, we obtain the power of the blind people, the Jewish people, and the African Americans.
Next week, the Australians. With the power of giant beers.
Crikey. It'll be a crocodile monster that week.
He has a weapon. It's not a knife.
It'll be a crocodile monster that vomits spiders.
The monsters are called Chazwazers.
You pitching and giving wings?
Should I be offended? I don't know.
Pitching and give wings a ticket to Australia.
No, it'll be a giant crocodile that vomits spiders. It'll have a giant boot on one foot. And it kicks you in the ass.
With a boomerang weapon.
Yeah.
While seeing the Goandra theme.
Yeah. Alright, let's talk about Forze.
That's a good idea. Let's
perform more racial stereotype service.
What's space timing?
It's space time!
Holy crap, this cancer in this episode.
Yeah, I'm so glad my horoscope's not a dick. Oh, I'm glad he's a dick, but he's not a useless dick.
So, it's spring break on Forze.
My horoscope is a useless dick.
My horoscope is a hot teacher. Or was, until she got sent to HFIL.
I'm
for infinite loser.
I don't have a horoscope yet. Maybe later. Maybe that'll be a movie
exclusive.
Forze
doesn't love you.
Huh?
Forze doesn't love you.
Hyper battle exclusive.
Okay, so it's spring break on Forze, and the school is all but abandoned. But Osugi has made himself a little spot on the roof and pines for the day when students are banned from coming to school. I'm sure the students would go along with that pretty well.
Yeah.
I didn't really look. Was photo of the teacher up there somewhere on his background? I didn't show.
No, it's just in his pants.
All good.
Well, he does love to hear his suspenders snap.
Yeah, and echo in the silence.
He doesn't get to snap any panties, that's all he's got.
He can pretend.
So the school chairman has had to Gias yet another detective trying to investigate all those odd happenings at the school. And in the process manages to very handily ignore Libra.
I just have how Libra grabs the book.
No. Pull him by his real name.
Space Garen.
That's kind of old at this point, actually.
And, of course, the Kamen Rider Club is still around, having a leisurely time up on the moon with the new...
Now, one, and also mentions that, of course, well, he does also, well, the chairman does also say that, well, Gamser is doing a really good job on his own without without having to be told what to do.
And he actually
is. Just let him do what he's doing since he's obviously doing it well.
It's kind of sad that, like, the most effective horoscope has been a student.
And also been an accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to regretting today that Cancer is not a teacher, so that there's no justification for calling him Mr. Krabs.
Oh, we can do that anyway.
He's Space Garen's fool.
He's Space Zoidberg in this episode anyway.
No. He's not Space Zoidberg. He's way too competent.
Besides, technically, wouldn't
he's
Zoidberg
just pulling
already
the
be...
shit out here.
Wouldn't Next Zoidberg week, already be Space Zoidberg?
Yeah, I guess. If you ask for a hot meal next week, we'll know.
Okay, so Gintaro suggests that everybody should come to eat at his house, and despite his reluctance, even Ryusei agrees to come. But first, he has to go see a man about a thing, so he'll catch up with them a little later.
The inner monologue he had was awesome.
Yeah. Or it just suddenly shifts to one side and it's playing his theme in the background.
He's getting really bipolar at this state. Maybe he'll become the Gemini Super Zodiacs.
So as it happens, Cancer wants to see Ryusei, and on the way there, Tachibana up in the satellite warns Ryusei that if anybody finds out who he is, there will be no more disco lights for him, and probably he shouldn't get that new pinwheel either.
No Beyblade for you.
Guess what's going to happen this week?
Yeah, foreshadowing much? So over in the gym, Cancer's making random students try to perform comedy for him, and when they fail, he pulls out their O-rings and cuts them, causing the students to collapse to the floor.
I love that.
I love Keiji so much.
He's such a prick. It's awesome.
Ryusei arrives in time to see the last one go down, and Cancer reverts to his human form to explain that he was having a contest. Make him laugh and get a new Astro Switch, or fall into an endless coma as Cancer sucks their life energy away.
It's pretty good compared to most Japanese game shows.
Yeah, I like the name he has for it, too. Hell's Open Mic Night. So Ryusei thinks Cancer wants him to play the game too, but Cancer's actually fairly impressed with him in general and would gladly just give him the Switch if he wanted its power. Plus, as a professional bullshitter himself, he can easily sense the deception flowing from Ryusei.
They but smell the same. That's the problem.
Having
that was a bit creepy.
Smelling the same as a crab.
Well, that's cancer for you.
Ooh. Yeah, smelling
so Ryusei smells like cancer.
Oh my God.
Alternatively, you can smell like crabs, but yeah.
Which one is the most horrible example?
Yeah.
There isn't.
Having no want of being a Zodiart, Ryusei leaves, but is immediately pursued by the once again transformed Cancer. However,
and
Ryusei...
he transforms into Captain Planetarium.
Yeah, Ryusei manages to find cover very quickly and transforms, ambushing Cancer as he wanders around trying to find Ryusei to steal his soul. Fighting ensues, but Cancer is still Cancer, so...
Cancer's suit actor must have had the most fun in this scene. Just going nuts of what he was
just
doing.
Zoe just crab walking, just lounging on the stairwell.
It was quite a spectacle, all that's for sure.
It was like a
Scooby-Doo chase. And of course, all while Spider-Man quipping.
Yeah.
Doing better than Spider-Man quipping.
So the fight ends up inside the school buildings, and Cancer ends up running off for the library. Meteor sees no sign of him by the time he gets there and cancels his transformation. That can't go badly.
Well, of course, it's a writer series. They do that all the time. No problem.
But oh no, Cancer was hiding and now has seen Meteor's identity. But it's okay, because Cancer's willing to maintain his secrecy as long as Ryusei makes nice.
Even if, like, I know it's a bit stupid, he just untransforms right there in the library, but when you think about it, Cancer would have just followed him out anyway.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Rider Club has made it to Gintaro's house, and what the hell is Jake dressed as?
I thought it was Tomoko for a second.
He's dressed as a Jake.
Ugh. But
he's dressed like Jim in holograms.
I forgot what he looks like when he's not in the school uniform.
But is he outrageous?
Truly outrageous. This is why Mickey would have lied that line.
Yeah. So anyway, once we can tear our eyes away from Jake, we get exposition of Gintaro's parents having died a long time ago, and so his grandfather has been raising him. But now it's
kind of nice to finally actually
his awesome grandfather.
Yeah.
It's nice to actually really get some solid backstory on Gintaro.
Well, it explains why he and Yuki knew each other, but then he moved away. Because he's always moving around to different motorcycle competitions.
His mentalities and his mentality and whatnot towards friendship
and
whatnot.
And it's more than we ever got on Shotaro.
More than Eiji.
Well, we know something about Eiji's past, but Shotaro, I mean,
it's kind of
nothing
fake about
his family or anything he did before.
Oh, but Skull was more of his family when you think about Double in the end.
Yeah. Skull and Philip and Akiko in the end.
Goro's pretty about awesome. His past, his real family, you know.
Yeah.
Not even to mention.
We just know he was a street punk, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't really say much.
No.
But on the subject of his dead parents, now, who's Tachibana? Is it Gintaro's dad, or is it Kengo's dad?
Kengo's dad. And you got to think that, because the way they talk about how they were involved and stuff that neither Gintaro nor Goro understood makes you think that there's really probably going to be some kind of connection between Gintaro's family and Kengo's in the end.
It could be Kengo, could be Tachibana, and Gintaro's dad could be the one who does the cosmic switch, but yeah, never know. But yeah, it's always good to have a multiple red herring.
Yeah, they know that that his parents were involved in an extremely technical field.
Yeah, because up until
Which
this
Gintaro
point...
Gintaro doesn't understand, but Gintaro doesn't understand a lot of things.
Well, Goro didn't understand it either.
Here's a question I have. Has Gintaro ever seen the school chairman's face so far?
Yes.
No, okay.
Yes.
Has he?
When?
On the book he got.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he didn't recognize the guy.
Well, they didn't show his dad's face, so maybe he doesn't recognize it since it's been so long.
Yeah, maybe.
And, well, they're intentionally not showing it also, so...
Then when you get... If you go down to that, even then it doesn't make sense, because the whole Kengo's dad exploding on the moon back in the first episode, that was 17 years ago, and Kengo is 17 years old.
It doesn't have to make sense. Shut up.
Anyway, I don't think it's Gamma.
I still say Kengo's the switch from the first episode.
Anyway.
But yeah, up until now, I've been thinking Tachibana was Kengo's dad, but now I'm just kind of wondering.
Well, anyway, it's time to eat because Yuki's Hot Pot Galaxy is finished. It's full of stars and planets.
And she brought out the hat again.
You forgot to mention Shun was dressed like Doctor Who.
<His bow tie. laughs> God, Shun is such a preppy dude. He just looks like somebody you just want to punch.
Well,
I like
looked
him,
like that since the first episode. It's
I know
face.
That, but it's just especially now how he's dressing that he's out of school.
Well, they're all dressing a little interesting now that they're out of school.
It's Japan.
Well,
Ryusei finally arrives.
Except for Meteor, who's dressing the same as always.
Yeah. So Ryusei finally arrives and plots to pit Forze against Cancer, because Forze has proven so effective against him all those times up till now.
But I like how he's just, you know, sicking Gintaro on him like he's some kind of attack dog.
Yeah.
Gintaro starts
talking about his childhood memories of making friends and explains it's why he works so hard at it now, which just pisses off Ryusei, who flashes back to his old friend in the hospital. Ryusei takes off, but Tomoko thinks that there might be something wrong. Very perceptive, that.
What does it say when she's the smart one in the group?
Well, she is pretty perceptive, though, so...
Yeah.
Anybody's going to notice.
The nuggets.
Isn't there only four of them? Shouldn't there be six in a box?
No, they're the value meal
they
version.
They do four packs.
Oh, no, I don't think they're here.
They're the half meal one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do have, actually. Like, they actually have, like, a dollar. Dollar menu, I think.
The
half meal ones were four.
Dollar menu food droids.
But yeah, this is the last food droid from what I've seen from Toy Scan, so... No
good
food droids. Da-da-da-da.
Ryusei has decided to solve his own problems and beat Cancer's face in by himself, so he goes stalking while dude is strolling about town with a hooker on each arm.
Cancer is weeping.
Ryusei
has this walk later on when he's fighting Force. When he's fighting Force, he later on he even just kind of has this pimp walk going on.
Ryusei and Cancer end up in a parking lot to have their beat down, but Ryusei is having a disco failure. No matter how many times he spins his ball, there's no music or colored lights.
Panic at the disco.
Gintaro and Tomoko arrive just in time to stop Ryusei from getting beaten to death, and while Forze is working very hard at making no progress, Ryusei calls Tachibana for troubleshooting. But Tachibana revealed that as long as Ryusei carries the meteor switch around, he knows everything Ryusei does. Which is creepy. More than slightly creepy.
So, yeah, meteor belt disappears just in time to conceal his identity from the club yet again.
Actually, I think it's still on him, isn't it?
No, it vanished after Cancer slapped him around like a bitch a few times.
Oh, okay.
But anyway,
when Nuggets were recording him.
Hmm.
I'm sure he will be revealed next week or something.
I hope so, because...
since his identity is compromised, he's cut off. And for Forze, the mysterious power of magnets is not any more adequate this time to stop Cancer, just like the last four or five times he tried it. And even better...
You forgot the freeze switch.
even better, Cancer's gained his own supernova power and really turned into crabs.
You forgot the awesome icebox freeze switch.
Yeah, he's got a refrigerator on his ankle.
It's a nice combination, actually.
Now, what I want to know is, how will the supernova form be beaten? And will it be with the beat switch?
You mean like, what, shattering with sound or something?
It's a giant crab.
Oh, yeah, hippie.
Well, no, it looks like it's next week we get Meteor Storm.
Looks like it's going to be killed by a Beyblade, probably.
Although, I'm sure it won't be the last of Cancer.
I hope not, because he's, like, the best character in the show right now.
I get the feeling, like, Libra is going to be the one to take him out. He's going to get so pissed off, he's just going to stab him in the back.
Yeah, I could see that. But
Libra would get a supernova power and use it on Cancer instead of the writers.
Yeah. The last few weeks of Forza have just been kind of bland on it, but this week was really good, I thought.
Well, things happened.
Because they set aside the high school part of the storyline.
Yeah.
And things happened.
Yep. They don't need to sell magnet states anymore. It's on to the next one.
Now they can have its ass kicked. To introduce the next upgrade.
Yeah.
But
while on Forza, as we saw again, we saw Ryusei's friend. Was it Jiro? I can't remember his name.
Something like that.
Well, so he has a switch, but did he actually go to the same high school as all of these?
Ryusei went to their own high school. Ryusei's a transfer.
So it's not just the one school that's handing out these switches then?
Possibly not.
So I was thinking about this. It could be the reason why Leo's only around in the background. He could be working at another school. But I know we're getting a bit worried about all these Zodiacs, all the horoscopes not showing up to the last episodes. Maybe we're going to get all of them coming from other schools soon, maybe.
What I'm thinking is that towards the last quarter, maybe they'll have, like... instead of monsters of the day, we'll have horoscopes of the day.
Yeah. I know Libra will probably last till the end. He'll be the Uva of this series.
Oh, he's the most boring, so...
Yeah. Well, there's
pretty
been
accurate, then.
There's been tweets from people looking at the filming of, I think it was, like, the mid-30s, and he's still around, so...
That's good.
I was thinking his time was kind of running out here.
It could be. It could be another person using the switch.
Well,
it could be
except you have to think too. You know, Cancer is probably going to get beaten by Cosmic State in its first appearance, which won't be long. And then Libra will
if he doesn't get taken out by Meteor next week.
Yeah, I think Cancer is going to hang around until Forze gets to beat him.
Hopefully,
he could if he gets beaten, he might just go completely insane and without a switch and just try and steal more switches or something stupid.
But either way, once Cancer's gone, Libra's going to look better in the organization.
Yeah.
I'm sure the translators will be glad when Cancer's gone.
Yes, I imagine so.
That was so pissed this week, it seems.
Yeah, but I mean, look at that sequence they had to fix up.
I'm surprised it got out so
quickly. But it was fantastic. Even still. They did get a good enough job with it, I think.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder when they beat Cancer if everyone will get their soul back.
Well, I imagine, because it looks like the Kamen Rider Club gets theirs taken next week. So that's why I think Cancer, at least, if not Kijima, will be defeated next week.
Yeah, they'll probably reveal his supernova forms because he's absorbed so many other souls or something stupid.
I was kind of thinking that, too. He's got so much extra energy, he digivolved.
Nah, it's rare candies.
Well, if he needed the rings to reach his super form, he must already have the Chaos Emeralds.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have no magazine scans for then next week. And then we got no magazine scans for any new episodes or any new toys, so we have no idea who's coming or what's happening.
That's fine.
I've actually taken to kind of avoiding those lately.
Yeah, I know you guys don't talk about them on the show that much anymore. Just in case you ruin it for everyone.
I like ruining things for people. That's why I do a podcast.
That's why you started this show.
Too late, I already made the joke.
I love spoilers for some stupid reason, because I'm crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so, time for Special Buster.
Yep.
No Special Buster this week.
Shut up. Paladin, do you want to take this?
It was Evangelion Go Busters this week.
Yeah, why not? 1, 2, 3, 1, let's go! So, let's see. We start off with a recap of the Go Busters base and all its capabilities, detailing the tunnel network spread out over the entire city.
It's an ant farm.
Yeah. They're really going out of their way to just explain everything they possibly can in the show.
Which I'm not opposed to.
No, not at all.
It's a first.
And they're doing it very well.
Well, yeah. This does have the Time Ranger writer and the Mega Ranger producer.
Okay.
So the boss talks about upgrading their Zords with Go Buster Ace as the core, foreshadowing for future merchandise releases. And they're trying to study the hyperspace that contains Messiah and all his followers.
Yeah, and speaking of more explaining things, they actually explain, like, explicitly why they can't just teleport into the hyperspace and kick their asses.
Which, I mean, it's kind of the counterpart to last week with Enter proposing a Megazord army.
We should just cross Sentai out of the title. It's breaking so much genre rules, which
good,
I love.
Though. I mean...
Oh, I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Huh?
But the greatest explanation is for the link between the Metaroids and the Megazords, where the Metaroid is used as a beacon of sort to summon the Megazord from hyperspace.
Which makes it...
But also that it's not completely accurate. Like, it's a brain... Like, the Megazord won't appear exactly where the Metaroid was, but within 3 miles.
3 kilometers.
3 kilometers.
3 kilometers.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Three kilometers like 6 miles, isn't it?
No, 3 kilometers is just under 2 miles.
Okay.
And it's a radius too, so that's a lot. That can be a lot of space.
yeah, that's a very large area,
as we saw in this episode.
But no,
Hiromu of course just wants to teleport into hyperspace anyway, because you know it could just as easily go right as it could go wrong.
You know, it makes it make more sense too why the Megazords are prepped and sent as soon as the Metaroid is formed too. That's been kind of going to appear. Yeah, that's been kind of curious up until they explained this.
Well, the fact that Red wants to just go in and kick their asses right away is another genre-breaking rule for Sentai, isn't it? It's more like, let's just sit back and wait for the Monster of the Week to get here.
Yeah, it's like most shows have like these rules of engagement.
Yeah.
And of course, the reason Hiromu wants to go in right away is to keep his promise and try to rescue the people. But the boss explains to him that they expect that there are no survivors from the incident 13 years ago.
And man, this week we were really seeing he is kind of an asshole.
Gendo Akari.
Yeah, he's basically that. The Gendo Akari of Super Sentai.
Well, plus, the other part of it is that, and part of it is that if they just get lost for nothing...
Then they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones that have the program in them, sadly, at this point, until the Beatles show up.
Maybe,
yeah.
Could be.
So, the base receives a report of someone matching Enter's description in one section of the city. So they head out, and he's cutting up a pizza.
Are they going to toss
his
salad?
He's eating pizza right in front of the gate, front gate to a Enertron storage tank.
And since they don't have a simple stoplight, they have to fight him.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't an evil pizza.
No, it wasn't an evil pizza.
It's with Enter. It has to be an evil pizza.
We're going to toss her a salad.
No, it wasn't an evil pizza just because an evil person was using it.
It looks pretty Enter evil. What the hell is on that pizza?
Well, it's a Japanese pizza, so it's a bit weird.
He still made me want pizza, so that's what I ate yesterday.
That's because Enter's awesome.
He's
so suave.
XV had beef.
Steak. I'm gonna get some. I'm gonna get. A, I'm gonna get a steak tomorrow after I get my car. That's good, actually.
You won't be able to afford the steak after the car.
Yes, actually, I will.
Yeah, he just will not be able to afford it for the next, you know, 5 or 6 years. Tomorrow will be the last day he can afford it.
I've actually got a pretty good rate.
How long is it for? How long will you be in debt? Oh,
4 years.
Ken's last day of happiness tomorrow.
Not bad,
that's why he's celebrating with steak.
Well, that's what I was saying, though. You know, for the next few years, he's not going to be able to afford it. Tomorrow is his last chance.
No more figure arts for Ken.
Probably not.
I've actually been cutting back on that anyway.
I haven't.
Okay, so let's let Paladin get back on with the episode summary.
All right, Enter installs the metavirus into the pizza cutter.
Am I the only one who keeps expecting him to say Mega Ranger when he does that?
No.
Yes.
I'm surprised how cool the pizza cutter monster actually looked.
It's like he just picked something out of random. Like, oh, let's see, what do I have on my table?
He should have installed the virus on the pizza.
It probably doesn't work on organics.
I guess not.
Probably not. But
plus
given last week's episode.
Yeah, last week they were transforming and presumably killing nurses and doctors and shit.
But that was with nanites, not the virus card thing.
So you used the virus card on a needle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's probably more than just a one-step process to do that, though.
He'll be the next one to get a big load of explanations.
Enter.
Yep.
Nah,
so
I think
Enter sacrifices
gonna...
his pizza to send the Cutteroid on attack, and another Megazord is on its way with about 8.5 minutes on the timer.
And it's like a new one this time. That looks suspiciously like GoBuster Ace.
I thought it was a Zaku.
No Zaku, son. No Zaku.
Oh. I wish your sound quality
didn't. So it's morphin' time, and they fight.
Well, that's actually pretty fitting with this episode's ending.
Get going.
So it's morphin' time. They fight until the Cutteroid runs away, and they find him again confronting two police officers until Hiromu jumps in and blocks the attack.
Taking the attack from it, in fact. Yeah. Hiromu's a bit self-destructive.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a tad.
Well, he's a
red,
there's
no chickens this week.
Yeah, he had to make up for last week's lost time with the chicken thing.
Still no go red.
Huh, no, not yet, but I think he'd about probably do the same thing. He just has not had a chance to pin a monster up against a wall with this special buster yet. Give him time.
Or a car.
So, Hiromu's arm is badly injured, so they have to bandage him up.
Yeah, Nick Steiner acts a bit like Deneb more than Kurosaki is.
Yeah.
Well, he's just had more screen time so far.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was expecting him to be more like... I was expecting him to be more like Momotaro's, but...
Well, I thought it was really weird he didn't fight, because he actually does have weapons.
Nick will probably continue to have more screen time just because it's an easier-to-use suit.
And they got to sell his motorbike toy?
Well, yeah.
And Hiromu rides him everywhere, so...
You.
Your
bicycle
mom.
Built for two.
That's your mom.
Only two?
Two families.
More than two cars.
Anyway, Hiromu figures out that the Cutteroid is just a distraction, and that the Megazord will actually be appearing towards another nearby tank, but still within the 3-kilometer radius they predicted.
Because it's on the other side of a mountain, which is another district.
Right.
It's good to know there's more than just the one tank.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. Whether they were attacking the same tank over and over again.
I think it's been a different tank every week.
Probably has.
It's just we haven't noticed.
This is the first time they've made us notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time they've made a special point of it.
Well, last week's was closer to the water than the other weeks, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the other weeks were in the middle of the city. Last week's was near some docks.
Anyway.
CB-01 gets sent out just as the Megazord arrives and starts cutting into the tank.
Stock footage! Oh, big deal. It's not like
one of the few
stock
times they actually use it.
I know,
series.
I know.
Yeah, and 4 episodes in, and we're finally getting reused footage.
Yeah,
That's still surprising.
Five episodes in, GoBusters has 1 minute of stock footage, let alone not their typical 20 minutes of stock footage.
Right. Although we have apparently abandoned, for the moment, filming outside. It's been raining that day.
Still looked awesome.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Still looked better than it has for a while. Yeah, it was fine.
All right. There's a fight scene between the Cutteroid on the ground and and GoBuster Ace with the Megazord. And they both get their asses handed to them at the start, anyway.
Because the Megazord has an AT field.
Yes, it does.
It was a pretty cool barrier effect.
It was an AT field.
But yeah, this is definitely based on... So yeah, this is definitely patterned after that prototype, that GoBuster... Well, prototyped after the GoBuster 8 scene in the flashback.
Yeah.
We've seen, actually, this Megazord model before, I think. It was the one in Episode 2.
No, Episode 2 was a more thinner kind of...
Yeah, I thought this was the thinner one.
No, this is the one Fort Max was saying was with the Buster machine.
Okay. This is
there's
third
three different types.
Yeah, this is the third model, a new one.
Right, there are three cards. Four cards. Three of them are for Megazords. The fourth is for the Mooks.
Okay.
So anyway, even though GoBuster Ace is getting its ass handed to it, the boss still hesitates at sending out the other vehicles. So Hiromu has to divert all power from the regular systems to start GoBuster Ace repairs again.
Yeah, or he's putting all his power in the legs and one of the arms.
All you need is one arm, if it's the right arm.
Even
if you're left-handed.
And the commander is sending Morish to do something else.
It's a secret.
Yes.
And of course, then you have the Megazord just getting a ton of Enertron from the tank. And Floating Head Messiah is pleased.
Villains winning in my Sentai? That doesn't happen.
Especially this early?
Yeah.
No shit.
But then, in between the fights, there's another flashback to earlier in the episode, where Hiromu decides that the boss must be wrong about there being no survivors. Since, of course, the people who teleported into hyperspace also had the vaccine that was programmed into them.
Or that they could have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that point of logic where it's that most shows kind of gloss over. It's like, well, yeah, they could be dead, but there's a chance.
However, this is the same logic that, well, who's to say they didn't give themselves the same vaccine that they gave us?
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like, it could be either way.
They're too young to remember as well.
It's kind of a reversal, too.
Well, not Ryuji.
Yeah, he was like 35.
He was Mickey's age.
Worked there.
It's kind of a reversal, since, you know, normally the assumption in a Sentai would be that there would be survivors. The people are still alive wherever they are. But no, this time it's like, no, these guys are dead.
And the assumption that they could be alive is based on something actual that actually could happen, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still just like a faint hope. It's not like...
Right.
You know, they're just automatically believing that they're alive.
Right, but still, the fact that the belief that they could be alive is actually based on something.
It's just another example of, you know, this is kind of breaking the mold for...
Right.
How
they're breaking it. They're breaking the standard in two ways with this.
I just love how this world has their own set of science rules, and they're all obeying them. They're not throwing it out the window like every other show does.
That's cool, too.
You know, that works in some shows.
I still have hope.
I don't mind in the slightest. I don't really mind how, say, Gokaiger approached its own rules or lack thereof.
Well, Gokaiger explained like the key road and all that, so they did a bit of it compared to most other series.
The thing you have to remember,
but for the most part, it's just like some kind of like big fantastical adventure, while this is kind of like a sci-fi.
The thing you have to remember about having an internal science and trying to adhere to it is that eventually you get Gundam 00, where their magic science element can do literally anything.
Yeah,
that's every anime.
It got especially at the end of 00 and God the movie.
Okay. Let's go over real quick. What can GN particles do?
Teleport you basically.
They can teleport you. They can eliminate inertial mass, making things virtually weightless.
They can follow
your mom could use that.
They can change the way you think, basically. Allow you to quote-unquote communicate openly.
Hey, remember when Gundam was about mecha?
But basically, it's
a lot worse than Minovsky particles in old Gundam.
Well, even don't get me wrong,
I love 00, the TV show.
Yeah.
Not the movie.
But,
the TV show, I love it.
But
it gets ridiculous.
Yeah, the GN particle stuff, I mean, there's a reason I started calling them magic particles.
Yeah.
Fairy dust.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually accurate.
You know, it's fairy dust created by magic engines.
And luckily they've not been doing that with Inertron yet.
Right, but they didn't do it with the GN particles at first either. That's why I'm concerned about them creating their special particle or substance as part of their internal consistency of science. That's what I'm saying.
Inertron's basically just treated just like Energon in a Transformers series. It's just pure power, but then the virus and programs is another story kind of deal.
Yeah. They have separated them out enough that hopefully Inertron just remains the MacGuffin that it is and not the heal-all switch.
And hopefully Ento won't get a bucket, put it in his head, and go, let's go blow up a dam and get some Inertron.
Well,
become Mr. Bushido.
No. Well, and then it goes all well and good until later they build a device to blow up the moon and another device to control the tides to flood this canyon to power a dam that they also built.
I wouldn't be surprised if Messiah did that, but Enter just looking at him going, what the f*** are you on about?
And it also built a cannon that one of the Megazords will have to use.
And the nice thing about Enter is that he seems to know Messiah is really just off his rocker.
Enter's just a troll. That's all he is. He's an internet troll who likes pizza and European language.
Oh, so that's where what his origin is. He just materialized out of 4chan.
He's a big tard. Anyway, back to Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. I almost said Ghostbusters. Shit.
At least you did it honestly, though.
Let's try and
cover up the cough.
Let's continuing.
All right. Yoko and Ryuji managed to stop the Cutteroid by catching all the saw blades and spinning them on their weapons.
Man, they'd be great at a sideshow or something.
Any circus music in the background.
And Hiromu manages to get GoBuster Ace back online by drawing power from life support and finally managing the last attack.
Seems like he's having trouble breathing there, actually.
Deno Rod Forms finisher.
Yeah.
So when is the last time you saw them defeat a giant and it didn't blow up?
Never. Or almost never.
When was the last time? When was the last time you seen the front of a Megazord damaged so you can see the inside?
Yeah, speaking of the Rama Raw reference.
Right.
That was the first thing that came to mind. I was like,
The blade goes into the cockpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when the Megazord falls over, there is sunlight coming into the cockpit.
That was a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
It was.
And now they have that whole Megazord there unblown up to take apart and study.
And and it's the GoBuster Ace Megazord, even.
Yeah, with whatever modifications that were made to it. That's the important part.
And then, of course, Enter is pleased. The Megazord performed really well. They got a great haul.
Like, thanks, GoBusters.
When they get back to base, the boss points out that they put a transmitting code in the Inertron.
But it didn't work.
Because he blew it up too soon.
Oh, sad trombone.
I'm sure that'll happen a lot for you.
And because they didn't want him to know, because if they did, they might hold back, which, considering how smart Enter is, he'd know something's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this nice kind of psychological battle, almost.
Seemed more like an American comic plot.
Yeah, it's like the commander knew Enter was screwing with them going in.
Or he figured out that he was screwing with
Yeah.
And knew that, okay, let's see, if they know about it, they might hold back and he might figure something's up.
And in that last scene, you kind of see a different side to Ryuji also. Because he's been such a nice guy up until now.
And he is pissed.
He does not show it in his face at all. He's just smiling, and then he's about to ready to slug the hell out of him. And I imagine
he almost slugs the hell out of him.
That's what I say. And I imagine by the end of the show, he probably will.
Super speed, stop super strength.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think he was super strengthening it. Then he'd kill him.
Shatter his skull.
we're going to need another Timmy.
It's not a hurt him thing. It's the, bright slap corrective.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, with Enter in the previous scene, is it implied almost that he can direct control the Megazords as well? Because I wasn't really sure. Was he just monitoring?
I think he was just monitoring the Inertron he was getting.
I love his laptop.
It's so fake looking.
It's not that fake to make. You just need to get a lot of diamond plating and random.
It looks like a laptop. It just looks like a regular laptop with some greebles on it.
Greebles.
Steampunk.
The Star Trek school of prop design. Take a real thing and put blinkies on it.
So next week we have the return of a Sentai trope, don't we?
Which one's that?
Evil Blue.
I actually don't think that he's necessarily evil, but
it's
it's
memory loss or something.
I think is the effects of him overheating because we haven't seen his weak point in full effect yet.
So like an adrenaline rush, he's just gone a full crazy mode.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, full domestic violence mode.
Nice.
But the last time we've had a blue bin like that was Shinkenger, wasn't it?
That was direct evil though. That was being controlled by an Ayakashi.
This is written by Kobayashi as well, so.
Oh shit! Isn't it?
But yeah, the monster, the tyroids next, but
it looks like we're getting already another kind of co-focused on Yoko, which is surprising.
And GoBuster 8, GoBuster O can't be in next episode because they didn't spoil it in the preview.
Yeah,
right.
It's GoBuster 8 again, but it looks like
Plus, it's not episode 6 yet, so.
But the gorilla and rabbit do get some action next week, though.
Well, they almost did this week.
It's actually pretty funny seeing them scream in the cockpit.
That's not
no
an
one
unfortunate
in there.
Euphemism, is it?
Usually it is. But it was nice to see, because they had mentioned it before but didn't utilize it, that they can pilot just the vehicle modes on their own.
Yeah, they can't do any of the transformation stuff, though.
But it's still kind of useful, though.
Well, because the rabbit's got guns and the
it's useful for the rabbit helicopter, because that can't transform anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can.
Oh, we haven't seen it yet. We don't know if it's been updated to do it, do we?
On the TV Asahi website, it does show a beast form for the rabbit.
Oh. But so it has been upgraded in the show.
Although I think the vehicle mode is probably more useful anyway.
Yeah, and it looks like the beast form is all CGI also.
So. Oh, it would be. A rabbit bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, GoBusters continues to be awesome, and hope it continues.
Yeah, I really though, it's kind of the middle part of the episode was just kind of felt a little basic
and,
to me.
Yeah, and of course,
the beginning and the end were really interesting.
And of course, the thing is that the entire reason that he would be against it was simply because going in there, they go in there to defeat, shut down Messiah.
Yeah.
If
not save,
they wouldn't go in there. To do anything else.
Gendo Akari, you and your angels.
It's just like, you think, like your families are dead. No, suck it up.
It's been 13 years. Toughen the f*** up.
Yeah, I mean, he said that, yeah, he is afraid, but not of you guys getting hurt.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about you. I'm going to use you all as bait if I can and if I have to. He's like the complete opposite of Doggy Kruger.
Or any other leader character.
Like commander type character.
It would be cool to
see. That matches the theme for Ghostbusters.
It's like at first he kind of reminded me of Satsuma from Digimon Savers, who is kind of the same kind of commander type character. Until this episode, he just turns out to be a complete and total
I would like to see a Buster Master kind of thing.
But yeah, I mean, this is that he will do whatever it takes to shut down Messiah. He doesn't care.
Yeah, if he turns the Buster Master, he turns into Buster Master, he'd probably end up stabbing Hiromu in the back. it's for the you know, the defeat of progress. Yeah.
Ah, he's our Goatsy Blue.
Sad thing is, Hiromu probably like, okay.
All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back to Power Playback.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey, everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. And do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the street, Fighter 3.
What the man! What the man!
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
Hey!
How dare you sneak up on me with that willy-nilly improvisational gibberish, Pierre?
Apologies, my friend. I thought you might appreciate the latest tastings from the Afro-Cuban Rhythm Club.
Appreciate? If you ever play that again in my presence, Pierre, I will kill you.
And as always, kill Hitler. So for Power Playback, for Power Playback this week, it's a loose association, but we're doing Danger 5, a new short Australian series full of awesomeness. And Dan, our genuine Australian, is here to tell us about it.
G'day. Gotta play it up.
So what the hell led to the production of this series? A Harryhausen box set and a mountain of weed?
Well, these are by the same guys that did Italian Spider-Man.
Yeah, a bit of the history.
That's not an answer. That's an example.
It is an answer.
If you watch the next episode after this, it wasn't weed, it was cocaine.
Opium.
Opium.
Well, a bit of a history with Italian Spider-Man. It was quite popular online, and SBS, it's like a public access special broadcasting channel here. They went up to the group who made it and said, "We want you to give us some ideas. We want you to make a show for us." They commissioned about 4 ideas, but Danger 5 was the one they actually went with in the end, and it's pretty easy to see why, because it's fucking awesome. Basically, Danger 5 is a spy action. Well, it's not really a comedy intentionally, but it is a comedy. Yeah. Set in World War II, from the viewpoint, it's a 60s pulp magazine. Like, you get the old Marvel Comics covers as well, with just random loose women on the front and alcohol, and you basically got Danger 5. We've got 5 main characters. We've got Tucker, who's Australian. We've got Jackson, who's American. Ilsa, who's Russian. And Claire, that's British. And then you got finally Pierre, who is European. They don't actually specify where. And he's basically their bartender. Fun fact, if you ever are watching Danger 5 with friends, a fun game to play is have a drink every time they have a drink.
Won't last long.
You do not last very long because they drink every 5 minutes. It's actually made...
Pierre has a bar in his pants.
Yeah, Pierre's awesome. Pierre's great. But yeah, it's Australian made, but done in South Australia. Probably the first good thing they ever come out of South Australia. Freaking South Australians. It's okay to be racist to me.
So basically, South Australia is viewed the same way we would view, say, Texas.
No, that's Tasmania, because it's legal to marry your cousins in Tasmania.
No. I'm sorry. That would be Arkansas.
Now, I hate this. South Australia is basically full of bikey violence, churches, and they don't contribute to the economy. So, yeah, I guess
it's Texas.
It's Texas. It's Texas, who said maybe a bit slimmer.
It's stereotypes, right?
it's a bit slimmer, but it's Texas. But yeah, and yeah, it's become quite a bit of a hit with online. I'm quite sure it's quite popular offline, but online it's doing really well. It's like a lot of people love it just because of how crazy it is.
Crazy.
And we're doing the third episode today, isn't it? Well, technically the third episode because of the
Wizard Soldiers of the Third Reich.
Yep. Yes. Because the pilot was on YouTube, which everyone can go watch. It's the Diamond Girls of Hitler, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's like technically episode 2, but it's the third episode.
Yeah. Basically, in Diamond Girls, they introduce the girls, they meet up with the boys, and it's just an origin episode, really. But yeah, some funny moments from the other episodes before we get into this one is shooting a person through a phone line with a gun.
I love that.
Loading a cigarette into a gun and firing it into someone's mouth. The robotic German shepherd girl dog they used to seduce other dogs and kill Nazis.
Oh my god, it's Hitler's dog!
The lady boys. And every time someone dies, they give Pierre a cocktail recipe.
Well, everyone, someone dies by Pierre.
Yeah.
Dies in his arms, anyway.
Dies in his arms, and Pierre's close. It does happen in this episode. Yeah, it does. It was the episode before this one. I don't think it happens. But yeah, and then there's always an advertisement at the end, which we'll get to this one. But yeah,
Hitler jumping out a window.
Yeah, the stock footage of Hitler jumping through a glass window.
Sometimes it's mirror flipped.
Yeah. Apparently the show got in trouble for Holocaust jokes, but they've never made one. So
It got in trouble for making Holocaust jokes before there was even an episode aired.
Exactly.
There weren't any Holocaust jokes anyway.
Like, stop making Holocaust jokes. What f***ing Holocaust jokes?
Now see, that's how you know it's a good series. They're getting in trouble for stuff they haven't even done before the show has even aired.
Oh, my favorite moment is during the credits. It just says, the makers of this show do not condone smoking in any way. There's so much smoking and drugs and alcohol. Just, that's so awesome. But yeah.
Now, and it's only the smoking they don't condone.
Right.
Yeah, you can have drugs and alcohol. Smoking on a TV show. Pff, can't have that. But yeah.
Or all the opium use.
Opium's fine.
Yeah, that's an all natural derivative of poppy seeds.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the end credits in the episode.
The party.
Yeah, with everybody's just. Completely well, especially wasted. The one in the Japan episode where everybody was just like hopped up on opium.
I like
completely
it
when the wasted, yeah.
And the eagle guy usually tries to make out with a chick with his eagle mask on.
Yeah, that's one thing you forgot to mention. The commander.
Their chief is an eagle. I have an eagle head, who's incredibly sexist towards Claire.
Are we sure this isn't Dynaman?
Oh, the one about Ed last night has a great line, but I won't say it to spoil you guys.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. I've seen up to the Japan episode, and that's it.
This one had a great one, but we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, I forgot to watch the most recent episode before we went to air today.
Then about the what do you have on your shoulders?
Yep. But yeah, should I start a bit of a summary of the episode we watched, which was Nazi Dinosaurs of the Third Reich, or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Lizard Soldiers of the Third Reich.
And as you can tell from the title, this show is awesome. It has such awesome titles. So we start the show, and we got some American troops finding love in war with each other. A young soldier falling in love with his commander. It's good to know Australian TV is not afraid to show it. And they are trying to bomb a base in Antarctica. Well, it's assumed, but it could be somewhere else in Europe.
I think it's somewhere else in Europe. The Antarctica thing is later.
Anyway, the kid has a grenade, goes in, and gets eaten by Tyrannosaurus Rex. An awesome claymation, stop motion T-Rex.
A Nazi Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Now, when Fort Max represented this episode to us originally, and he described this as a claymation dinosaur.
Yep.
I have to admit, I was really thinking of something more in the style of the 50s. You know, completely anatomically wrong. Like, remember that one episode of The Twilight Zone with the airplane and they see the dinosaur out the window?
Well, I thought this was like Land of the Lost in a way.
Except this looks better than Land of the Lost, which seems like it's missing the point.
This looks better than crappy CG dinosaurs in the Oz movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's Japanese CGI. It's not hard to look better.
Claymation's better than that.
Well, no. It's specifically Toei CGI.
Yeah, but this is intentionally bad, and it's still better. Anyway, after the kid gets eaten, and assume the rest of that platoon does, we go back to the base, where everyone's magazines have come in, and Tucker gets a really, really shit sensible humor magazine because he's up himself. And Jackson gets his manly magazine because he's all man.
And yeah, every episode he's reading a different magazine with man in the title, isn't he?
Yeah. No, but he likes Ilsa. He likes Ilsa. Yeah, that's how we go.
Yeah.
And gets a new record, which I can't even remember if... and it's also a cassette player as well. Did they have cassettes like that in the 50s?
It was a record player he's using, wasn't it?
Yeah, had cassettes on it as well.
Oh, shit.
But who cares? Well,
next episode, you have a kid playing a video game, so it's
He's playing a Vectorvision or something, isn't he? A Vectrix.
Yeah.
That's not a kid, it's an old gangster. But
sure.
Anyway, Pierre puts on his new record, playing a funky beat, and it almost causes Tucker to have a f***ing aneurysm. Blood starts dripping out of his nose, and he shoots the record and threatens to kill Pierre if he ever plays music like that ever again, because he's so sensible and manly, in a way, I guess.
Now, did anybody else think he looks kind of like Conan O'Brien?
Australian Conan O'Brien.
Well, if Conan O'Brien...
You're not tall enough either, but yeah.
I thought Pierre looked like a European Kentaro. He's got the freaking pompadour going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just cracks and shoots the music, and then in comes the chief. Good old, I just love the costume they have for the chief, the head flapping randomly.
Yeah.
And then the chief is just a prick to Claire.
This morning, an American soldier was eaten by a Nazi dinosaur.
That's a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No, Claire, that's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Try thinking first before you open your mouth.
Tyrannosaurus Rex. No, you idiot.
No.
It's
Tyrannosaurus Rex. Try thinking next time before you're opening your mouth. I just love how much of a dick he is to Claire. It's only Claire. Oh, God. And then they cut to Belgium.
Yeah, because Ilsa would probably shoot him in the head.
Then they cut to Belgium where the dinosaurs are attacking. And then we get one of the
dinosaurs with guns on their horns.
Yeah, a triceratops with machine guns mounted onto its horns.
You got two horns, you might as well put two machine guns on them.
No, just strapped, just like wired onto the horns.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not the best dinosaur. We have the pterodactyl rapist. That tries to get into a bar fight with Jackson when he tries to save her. He gets out the bottle of alcohol, smashes it, and tries to glass him. Just like like a typical pub night.
And
I just love that screaming, bleed, bleed.
And you know, it's better than the pterodactyl yummy costume.
God, it is.
And of course, the pterodactyl rapist speaks German.
Yeah.
Take that, Toei.
Hey, you're getting rid of you're scaring away the toe. Bleed, bleed.
Well, they're wizard soldiers of the Third Reich. Of course they're going to speak German.
The Nazi.
And as Ilsa kill it, was it a pickaxe? I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then good old stop-motion T-Rex head with cuts to a blue screen and all that happens and split-screening. Good old stuff you don't see in film anymore. And they're just slowly dodging it, going back and forth slowly until the danger tank shows up. I'm just assuming it's called the danger tank. And
sure,
it is now.
I just love how Claire pops out her head and just goes, fire! And drops back. And in glorious, gory claymation explosions. Which, that's why I love watching old Sentai shows. You get shit like that.
Yeah.
Just... And I love the line one girl has. I always thought I'd die of alcohol poisoning.
There's still time for that.
Yeah, that's really evident later in the episode. Then Pierre makes a crappy joke, pisses off Tucker. Because Tucker is so stuck up himself for some stupid reason.
He's such a sensible, manly man.
Yep, such a sensible man. And then Claire notices there's some stitches on the back of the pterodactyl. Opens it up, pours in glorious fake blood, pulls out a crystal. Looks more like a crappy rock, but it's a crystal. And apparently,
so they say this.
Yeah, then we cut through the awesome plane on its strings. Yeah. I just love how they on purposely make you see the strings. That's the best part.
They make no attempt to hide it at all.
Right.
And everyone's smoking in the plane. You don't see that anymore.
Drinking.
I miss that.
Of course, the best sequence in a plane was in the pilot episode.
With the pushing the mannequin out the hole during...
Well, and the slow realization, this is a German airline!
Well, that they get their own slow realization in this episode.
Yes.
We'll get to that. But then they find out they're from Antarctica. crazy. So they head off there, and then, oops, I just hit my microphone. Then Tucker, still a douche to Pierre, because Pierre's trying to, oh, maybe it's going to be somewhere tropical and awesome. And Tucker,
because he's Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker's like, I want you to die, kind of look. Then suddenly, storm clouds, and then they crash in the Savage Land.
Oh, well, yeah. Like
good old X-Men.
Yeah.
And then we get more claymation dinosaurs as they look around, and I think a few real lizards as well. I wasn't really paying that much attention. I think they had a blue tongue lizard. Anyway, all looks awesome. Even though, like, it's so bad, it's awesome kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, they split up. Tucker wants to go hunting. Pierre wants to go too, but Tucker ignores him because Tucker's a dick. And he keeps Pierre still going, ooh, pick me. And also wants him to make a cocktail before he goes. Because Pierre's the only one that knows how to make alcohol, apparently, with his mind, as it was proven in the episode previous to this one. Should have mentioned that before. He has some kind of telepathic alcohol power. Anyway, they split up. Tucker and Pierre eventually go hunting, and the others go gather wood. Eventually, Jackson and Ilsa find a hot spring, and they climb right into it naked and try and get Claire to come in, but she is the stuck-up British stereotype from the 60s, and she refuses to get in since the only person who's seen her naked is her uncle. It gets creepier as the episode goes on. We all know that.
You want to talk about unfortunate euphemisms?
Which is strips down.
I don't think that's it. That's not even a euphemism.
No, it's not.
Well, she strips down to everything but her undies and climbs in, and then suddenly the head of Michael 10, a character we'll see later, is suddenly perving on them. Wen then gets shot, which so it probably isn't Michael 10, it's probably Michael 9, gets shot in the head by a scientist with a Dino Butler. And I'm only calling him Dino Butler because I can't remember his name, and Dino Butler sounds like Dino Buckler. Anyway.
Oh, that's on topic.
The scientist convinces him to come back to his place for goulash and a promise of a working radio so they can contact the team, since the clouds in the Savage Land aren't letting them contact them, which is very, very convenient.
His terrible German accent is not a tip-off at all.
I love terrible German accents. Everyone loves terrible German. If I ever go to Germany and no one sounds like that, it's going to be such a disappointment.
You're going to be disappointed.
Like, take their bags. We don't have bags. Take my bags. I just love that, two-way of them. But yeah, it's scientist guy comments about how the Dino Butler doesn't have a crystal in his head, so that's why he's not under their control, which Claire gets a bit sus about. Eventually, they get back to this estate, which is in a volcano. I mean, if you're going to have a giant base in Antarctica, you have it in a f***ing volcano in the Savage Land.
Sure!
Of course, it's awesome. And they get themselves cleaned up, and they go to the radio room while the scientist leaves the room. Then behind them, a horse painting, or a painting of Sarah Michelle Gellar. Never know.
Whatever.
Oh, Sarah Jessica Parker. Got the wrong Sarah.
Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin, yeah, that works. The eye comes back, and the scientist looks in at them. But while Claire has a realization by looking at the plug, it's a Nazi plug!
No, German yes.
Because it's a swastika.
It's a German plug!
Because it's got a swastika-made plug, which if Germany doesn't have those either, I'll be very disappointed. Anyway, the crew gets gassed, which is not a good thing if you're talking about a journey or two.
Of course, the previous episode they established that. I guess Jackson would have to be smoking at the time.
Yeah, he needs those cigarettes.
Fets. He has to be actively smoking in order to counteract being gassed.
He has to build up a protective layer of menthol in his lungs.
Those are just normal cigarettes from the 60s, before the lung cancer warning happened. And while they were getting gassed, Pierre and Tucker got themselves frickin' captured by Amazon women for some stupid reason. And then Tucker gets mind raped by the knowledge tube.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
And like, I thought that was such a freaky thing with him just vomiting up like milk and yogurt while he was getting mind raped.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Yeah, I just love Pierre's comment. What did the knowledge tube tell you? Knowledge tube's just a great word. Like, great name for something. And then he says he refuses to convince the ape men to help them in the attack on the scientists, because the scientists have been kidnapping the women to fight in his crazy gladiator games. However, Sheba appears, and Sheba will mate, then kill, apparently.
Then feast.
Feast, that's it. But yes, Sheba's just a creepy fairy mask, and Tucker doesn't want to get raped and eaten, says he will go talk to the gorilla people, which are awesome. Anyway, before we get to them, we go back to the Nazi dinosaurs in Nazi uniforms. cheering at the gladiator with little Nazi flags as well, which is one of the best shots you'll ever see on TV. I apologize to all our German listeners if we have any.
But oh, we don't have any listeners. Don't worry about it.
I'm the only one, and I'm not offended. I'm part German anyway. That gives me okay to make fun of him.
Sure, anyway. It does.
Anyway, scientist reveals his real name is Mengele, and he is really a Nazi scientist. Who knew?
Shocking.
And it reveals that Jackson and Ilsa are down the bottom in this pit with some Amazon women, while Claire has been put into a skimpy outfit as Mengele's bride, so to speak. He asks they will be fighting some dinosaurs. Now, we get a very, very Ultraman Japanese introduction for the monsters.
It's, yeah, very Japanese.
Was it King Zaro or King Zardo? I can't remember.
King Zaro or something like King that. Zaro, yeah. I probably said Garo at first. I was like, what?
Then we get the best one, which is Michael 10. And then we get Zaro does a Kamen Rider Shin. The girl runs at him. He grabs her, rips off her head, and tosses her to the side.
Yeah.
Fatality, you win. But I just love how crappy. Like, you can see that it's just strings on Michael 10 holding up the neck as it slowly bounces in the air. And then it's just. Anyway, as they're fighting, the King Zaro drops his little spear thingy while he disembowels another of the women with his horns in a pretty good old awesome gruesome blood display.
I just saw some gruesome fake, and that makes it even better.
Exactly. Right. Fake.
He drops the spear just so he can...
Yeah. And then Jackson, taking the opportunity, slashes his back before Michael 10 starts fire-breathing at them, which is so bad and awesome. And then Ilsa pulls out a hip flask, drinks it all, and then breathes her own fire, because her breath is so alcoholic, overtaking Michael 10's fire and setting him on fire. And it's so good to see her costume catch on fire.
Okay, so you know they had to do that, like, that was the last take they had with that.
Yeah.
All right, we've used Michael 10's costume enough. Set it on fire.
And this way no one will steal it when production's done.
I'd steal it. Okay. So they fall down. They basically, the monsters get defeated, quite simply. So then they get tranquilized to fight another day.
Wait, tranquilized?
I don't know, tranquil.
Is that a word?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's an Australian word. It's an Australian it's an Australian dictionary next to crikey. Anyway, they all get tranquilized again. And Claire gets taken back to the doctor's main room where, well, he tries to come onto her with such lines.
In more ways than one, you know.
Yep. With such lines as, the fruit is ripe, but the tree is yet to be harvested. Coming from that guy just seems really creepy as well. Like, this is like something in Forza would happen. She would be Sonata and he would be Osugi or something.
Yeah.
Bit creepy. But yeah, he tries to hit on her and all she can let the friends can live as long as she sleeps with him. But she refuses because Hitler is a cock block. He rings up during it as he was about to go ahead with it. She tries to drug him with some of the drugs he had. Well, other drugs he had for sex, really, but I didn't catch what drug they were trying to use, but he stabs her with it anyway. Basically,
they're probably not real.
Yeah, they're probably just trying to date rape her. Anyway,
well,
she gets knocked out.
I think that's evident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, she gets knocked out, and we cut to the ape men bar.
Yes.
Which is awesome, because like, I have no idea who the voice actors are for these two guys, but they're the best voice actors ever. I just love the voice of the ape men in this. But we get to see these.
I'm getting a Paul Schaefer vibe.
They're probably trying to imitate him, yeah. But we get to this, I reckon the masks are actually really well made. It's probably the best monkey masks I've ever had to see.
Like, yeah, they reused them from the pilot.
Yeah, the Nazi monkey meant for Ilsa, tamed.
came from him.
But yeah, Tucker gets pissy trying to get their attention because it's Tucker. And he gets into a bit of trouble as the monkey men are going to shoot his head off.
He fires into the air.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get people's attention.
Yeah,
But then the awesome Pierre gets up on the bongo drums and starts speeding up, making a beat, and getting going. He starts playing really fast. Yeah. He's just, the monkey men love it, and his hands catch on fire, because he plays so awesomely. While Tucker's also getting into it. Because apparently Tucker is a closet someone who likes good music.
Among other things.
And
closet.
No, he likes Claire. It's PA, he doesn't have anyone. Well, he has everyone every episode, but they always die. Actually, he doesn't get one this week. That's a bit weird. Anyway.
I guess it would have been too weird with the monkey.
Yeah. Anyway, they convinced the monkeymen to help them because Nazis will get rid of music.
Well, no, they'll not just that. They'll put music in a camp.
Music in a camp. And then let's take this guy down from C minor to B diminished.
Yeah.
Some awesome music puns. He's got a few later on, but yeah. It's just awesome. And then we cut back to the volcano where Hitler is gained. He's basically exposition on this crystal from the Mengele, explaining how they can control anyone with this crystal, which just looks like one of those crappy door stops you get at some crappy furniture store.
Which it probably is.
It is. It's most likely is. I think the budget was $5 for the show.
And they spend most of it on the monkey masks.
And alcohol.
Yeah.
You get the crystals explained and they go back to the gladiator, the pit to see more fights happen. But Hitler recognizes Claire from the previous episode where she was supposed to have sex with him. Hooray! For she was dancing for him for his birthday party. If you haven't watched that episode, go watch that episode.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Because it's got full of Nazis getting killed, which is awesome. Anyway, Hitler remembers her and takes away the handcuff from the chair and cuffs her to himself, which really pisses off Mengele because he's just been cock-blocked. But, okay.
Well, got his new girlfriend taken, but no, it's Hitler's girlfriend.
Yeah. Hitler's act is actually quite funny in this. He's just got some funny emotions going on. But anyway, we cut back to outside where the Amazon women and the ape men are trying to infiltrate with Pierre and Tucker while Pierre and Tucker are trying to bond over the music, and Tucker's a bit more loosened up now. He's not such stuck up himself. And we meet another monkey man named Dynamite Adam. And Dynamite Adam is f***ing insane. You sure that's enough dynamite? Yeah, Dynamite Adam knows what he's doing. And he's just coming in screaming like a f***ing lunatic. I love Dynamite Adam. Even though he's only for 5 seconds. Then we cut back into the pit where Jackson has to fight a mind-controlled Ilsa in a full dominatrix outfit, which if someone's mind-controlled and they're a girl, they have to have a whip, don't they?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, what the f***? Feedback.
I'll say Mickey's not here.
Anyway, Jackson and Ilsa are fighting. The dinosaurs do the Nazi salute, which is awesome. While they're cheering them on. I do not condone Nazis in any way. It's just awesome to see dinosaurs do that.
Unless they're dinosaurs or starfish.
Yeah, it's really needed a starfish Hitler in it. Anyway, yeah.
See his final form.
Jackson and Ilsa start juking it out, choking and punching each other, and eventually whipping each other and choking with the whip. It's a bit sus. And then Hitler's constantly forcing Claire to watch them die because it's Hitler. What do you expect?
Hitler. He's evil.
Yeah, the ginormous dynamite explosion that causes the volcano to erupt because Dynamite Adam used too much dynamite.
Because Dynamite Adam used too much dynamite.
Gee, I did not see that coming.
Well, we get the awesome scene of all the ape men and women and the Amazon women running in, and the ape men have shotguns killing Nazi dinosaurs. So you have Jazz.
There's a line I never expected to hear in my life. Dinosaurs.
And it's awesome. You're just seeing all those guns going off, Nazi dinosaurs dying, people falling over, fake blood everywhere. It's great.
Real kills.
Yeah. And in the ruckus, Claire tries to get away. Claire tries to get away from Hitler, and the doc tries to take her back as well. But Claire shoots the doc, but doesn't wound him that much. I think she just only nicks him. But then he tries to shoot her, but she is saved by the dino butler, who admits that he loves her, and starts biting his hand. Tucker reunites with Claire, and they chase after Hitler to find the crystal as well, while the ape men are still going crazy with shotguns. And then, sadly, the long-haired ape man dies. But in Pierre's arms, he tells Pierre how to make the perfect cocktail, and this time it's a Carlos Sultana, which is just a terrible pun and is also awesome. I don't even know if it's a real cocktail, actually. If it is, I'll try it now.
Probably. I'm sure there's a recipe out there.
Yeah. But I thought it was a bit gruesome the way that Monkey Mask looked when he was dying.
You're no kidding.
It's like the eyes are rolling in the back of the head. He's like, oh. Salta Carlos Santana. And he dies, and it makes the blonde ape man go a bit crazy. Anyway, Claire and Tucker find Hitler and the crystal. And then Hitler, of course, flees through the stock footage, which we talked about. I think only the first episode doesn't have the stock footage.
He just jumps off a train over an ocean and somehow survives.
That's good enough. But yeah, like Fort Max said earlier, they just flip it or invert it depending on the situation. And we all love stock footage.
Yeah, they just flip it depending on what side of the screen he jumps off from.
Yeah.
I want to see them just like not flip it and he runs to the wrong side and it still goes down.
Yeah. It's like. Can you imagine Hitler as a? Unless you had that, can you even imagine Hitler as a like a villain of the week? Unless you had him escape some stupid way every week. He's pretty stupid way this week, but I'll let you guys see that for yourself. Anyway, the crystal effect fades and Ilsa gains her mind back and stops attacking Jackson, but then Jackson just socks her in the mouth and calls her a crazy bitch. There's something in my head. There's always something in your head. Yeah, Jackson's just crazy. He's awesome. Then all the dino soldiers, since they've been freed from the control of the crystal, they disembowel the Dr. Mengele in quite awesome, fake, gruesome organs, which...
What was that, spaghetti?
I think it was spaghetti in some, like, maybe some, like, sausages, like, just the skin of the sausages without meat in it.
But probably the leftovers from one producer's lunch.
Yeah, it's leftovers from the after party. And they disembowel the doctor, and Jackson and Ilsa keep arguing. Team reunites outside as they watch the volcano explode from a distance. Claire says she's sorry and reveals all she had to do was sleep with the doctor to ensure Ilsa and Jackson's freedom, which pisses off Ilsa, and she tries to choke her. And then Tucker, because Tucker likes Claire apparently, tries to come on to Claire. And Claire says, well, if someone... Every possible way. And Claire's like, if someone wants to get with me, they have to put something here. Well, try this on for size. And he puts a cigarette in her hand instead of a ring. Because he's a dickhead. That's why he's awesome. And then the ending advert for this week is the utility guitar. Which is quite handy. If you ever need a guitar with a bottle opener. And a
I'm sure that'd be handy.
I reckon it's pretty handy. And then
I like that every time that guy is actually in an episode, he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the first episode, he played what he looks like there, the owner of the bank. In the next
episode, he played Pierre's old friend.
Yeah, in the French place. In this one, he played...
He probably played one of the apes.
He probably was one of the main ape guys, yeah.
Probably the one that died in Pierre's hands.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Vettery
played Sheba and he had a fake bra on or something. And like the one after this one, he plays the opium owner, I'm quite sure, in the next one.
Yeah.
Because
in the latest one, I think he plays the guy in the bar that Pierre knew.
Yeah.
Oh, it's somebody Pierre knows.
Because everyone calls Pierre a different name.
Yeah. But everyone calls Pierre a different name as well.
Yeah, that one episode he was Marcel.
Yeah.
Then there's Glenn.
It just keeps changing because Pierre has just been around Europe forever, apparently. We learn a bit more about Ilse's backstory in the next episode for the ones that you guys haven't watched it yet, obviously. And yeah, and as like I said, Danger 5 is a great show. It's really fun. Lots of fake blood, lots of fake violence, lots of alcohol. They're not scared to show off a bit of skin as well, which I don't know how America approaches that sometimes for certain time slots and ratings.
I've seen worse on American TV, I think, in that regard.
They get decent looking girls as well. They don't really get, some are a bit weird, but they don't really go for cheap, ugly ones just because of their budget. No offense to cheap, ugly girls.
Your mom?
Yeah, no offense to your mom. But yeah.
But we always offend your mother.
But did you guys all enjoy it? All enjoy the series as a whole?
What I've seen of it so far, it's fucking insane. But that's
it's
good,
insane.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like when I was a bit worried when I first saw the previews, it looked really funny, but I was worried it wouldn't really take off that well. Like not many people would get the humor.
Wouldn't really deliver.
Yeah, but it delivered. It delivered more than anything that I could ever hope for.
I'm kind of waiting for Adult Swim to pick it up here.
Does Adult Swim even have shows anymore?
I don't know. I stopped watching it a long time ago.
Yeah. They just have bumpers now.
They have Tim and Eric, so no.
I know the Dinosaur Productions, whoever make it, they wanted to have it public online, but SBS, the channel, just wanted to keep it Australian only for now.
That's why that's all they could get was the pilot online.
Yeah, but the pilot's actually a really good episode. If people don't like, if people aren't in Australia or don't want to buy the DVDs or don't like seeing them in a different way, watch the pilot online. It's really good. At least watch the pilot and the trailers, because it's just fun. It's just pure unadulterated fun. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most fun things I've seen in a while, and from a kind of an unexpected source, because outside, I guess, of Australia, you don't really hear much about Australian TV.
Yeah, unless you're British, you get Neighbours and shit. Neighbours is a crappy show. That's Neighbours is technically Toku. So is Home and Away, and Home and Away had Chris Hemsworth in it before he got big in movies.
I mean, I know a little bit about Australian TV, but very little.
Like what?
I think we may have gotten, like, Around the Twists here one summer on Fox Kids.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I remember that one.
That's sure.
The most I know about TV from that region is like hearing some former Power Rangers actors doing stuff occasionally. Yeah,
I've seen some of Money or the Gun online.
I've seen a few episodes of Underbelly.
Mostly the once an episode covers of Stairway to Heaven.
But yeah, Magi Pink, or it might be Magi Blue, Mystic Force, sorry, is quite a decent actress now and does quite a few high-ranking shows. I get the feeling she doesn't talk about her Power Ranger history. But, I don't know if... Because you get to tell a New Zealand and Australian casts cross over quite a bit. Like, people usually leave New Zealand and then Australia claims them as their own when they get big, like Russell Crowe. We claimed Australian when he got famous, but when he became a douchebag, we claimed he was New Zealand.
So that took, a weekend?
Kind of the same thing when actors come from Canada.
Yeah.
The U.S.
Well, it's like with Mel Gibson, he lived in Australia for a couple of years when he was a kid, so we call him an Australian actor until he became crazy, so he was an American actor.
Right.
Yeah.
We're very, very bad with that.
He became an American actor.
Yeah. But I think the only real Australian movie you guys get was The Castle. But I heard that got pretty big over there, but I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's just a comedy about a family.
Heck if I know.
Oh, that narrows it down a lot. Thanks.
Yep. Hey, I gave you the title. You can't get more specific for the title. But yeah, I'm glad
it's a generic title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. But yeah, I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. I just want more people to watch it, and hopefully it does really well in DVD sales to guarantee a second season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's only 6 episodes for now.
And it's like most British comedy shows are only 6 episodes, so...
I thought those were like 8.
No, it's normally 6. It's 8 if you're lucky. If they, like you just say 2 seasons of Fawlty Towers is only 12 episodes.
Or like The Office is like 6 with a couple specials.
Yeah. Huh.
No wonder the British version of The Office is so much more tolerable. There's so much less of it.
It's like a quarter as long.
Yeah. From memory as well, when British shows air on TV in Britain, they only have the one commercial break in the middle.
That's true for some, but not all.
I was going to say, the BBC stuff, I think the BBC stuff usually doesn't have any break, and it just has like short announcements between shows.
I think it depends if the show goes for an hour or something, they start doing it, maybe.
It depends also on which BBC channel it's airing on. Different ones handle it in different ways.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to give you some other Australian toku, a little short clip for you guys to watch.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
I've sent it before, but you guys may have not seen it. It's a Power Rangers parody. So, back when Power Rangers was still big.
Is that when it was banned?
No, that's yeah.
That's New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We can play it fine here. Samurai is quite popular here, apparently.
They're founded by convicts. What the hell do they
care? Right, that's right. Ooh. I have a friend in New Zealand. I forgot about that.
I hope you guys like puppets.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
Oh, no.
Oh, good, it won't load.
Really?
It's playing for me.
The mighty dorky flipping Power Rangers.
Wow.
This is early 90s.
I can tell.
It looks like it.
Well, lucky me, I don't have to watch it.
No, you have to.
Not if it won't load, I don't.
I'll go to Texas. Bring it on a laptop. Or where the hell you are. Tennessee. I don't know. There's only one state in America.
One state in America.
Shit state.
If all...
Well, that's just like there's only two cities in Australia and everything else is desert.
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
Oh,
you all right, kangaroos to work. Well, we are the only country that eats the animals on our coat of arms.
How's that taste?
Kangaroo's okay, but I haven't had emu yet. But I'd like to eat a bald eagle. they're not extinct, are they?
Just not quite.
The more
they're going to allow hunting them again.
The more endangered an animal is, the more better it tastes.
The more better it tastes.
Yes, the more better.
I've heard that theory before.
What's that?
That the
more
endangered...
That's why they're endangered.
Exactly.
Because they tasted delicious.
Yeah.
Tasmanian tiger and devil must taste awesome.
Is a Tasmanian devil endangered?
It is now, yeah. It's got some kind of disease that's specific to that species, so it's slowly dying out.
That makes you want
to
eat it.
Yeah, some kind of facial tumor disease.
Oh, well, as long as you know
yeah,
the face, it's fine then.
Well, Tasmania sucks at animals. They already killed the fucking Tasmanian tiger.
Well, they did that a long time ago,
Tasmania
didn't they?
Tasmania sucks at animals.
I fucking hate Tasmania.
Oh, yeah, I'm funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when did that video... that video game bomb, didn't it?
Which one?
Tasmania.
Wasn't that a TV show?
No, Pie the Tasmanian Tiger.
Oh.
Well,
there was a Tasmania video game, too. No relation
Oh, wasn't it? Oh, okay.
Well, this was one of those...
the cartoon.
I remember the cartoon basically said Tasmania is just desert, where Tasmania is not. It's like assuming every single bit of Africa looks just like the Lion King.
It doesn't?
With no children getting kidnapped.
Stolen.
Yeah. Apparently, Africa was great until 2 weeks ago.
Apparently.
Never mind the fact that guy's been...
Exactly.
...been on the run for, 6 years.
And he would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling hipsters.
But enough about Fun Pub.
Fun Pub 2012.
Okay, let's see where that's updated at.
So are we done? Because I could probably should be getting to work.
Yeah, I think we can finish up.
Good idea.
Yuki and Gao aren't going to pay for themselves.
So, that'll be our show for this week. Thanks to Dan for getting up way early his time and sitting with us to talk about Danger 5.
I'll catch you guys another time. I'll see you on Twitter. Thank you for having me. You guys were great. All that junk.
And for next week, we will be watching episode 18 of Tamika Hero Rescue Force for Power Playback. So everybody, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
One up. Gotcha.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly Power Playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
For anyway,
as long as it takes,
however long.
Oh, okay, so go eat and shit.
Well, maybe not eat
and shit at the same time. Okay.
Well, that's up to you, but...
I'm all about multitasking, actually.
Of course.
Actually, I might clean off the semen stains off my Deno Vega form.
Wait, what?
Not mine. Didn't you read my tweet? Oh. I got Deno Vega form in the mail, and underneath the shoulder pads on one side, there's a white stain. And I'm not f***ing kidding. So I'm a little worried it's a semen stain.
And that came from Wanderake, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was factory sealed. So like Ken said, someone in a Chinese factory got kinky with it.
Superhero time! 次回もお楽しみに!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.